This is the first chapter from The Dark Inside. It's dark night at the train halt. Dark, dark, dark night. With only me out here on the platform waiting on the night train to Miami-Dade. Hickory smoke and stem tobacco rise up with the laughter from the railman. Clothes stale as their smells, who are playing blackjack and split poker between the sidings, lit only by the spark of the down train signals. Clutcher's already tired of the waiting, and he's lain down with his head resting on the fold-over flaps of my battered satchel. Brown dog melting invisible into brown leather, like spooned chocolate. Clutcher's no pet, but he's a working dog, although he's better company than most folk I know. But then I've never been one for people, and I can't abide most talk. If you don't got something to say, you shouldn't be trying to say it, Grandpa Fallon used to tell us. So it's the quiet ones I watch for now, out fishing by the skinny ponds, or sculling down the deep water at dawn. Now I'm seated on the train, and we're rattling and clanking our way past the track stop out on Route 6. Some days I swing by there, though it's mainly tourists left buying peace pipes and plastic totems. Once I fancied buying a rug for the dog where they had them out back in the dust behind the diner. But when I got to the desk, the coins wouldn't be counted and shimmered in my hands like shapeshifters, darting their numbers from palm to palm. I guess they didn't much want it anyways, I said, and stuffed it back under the counter. The stable doors banged shut behind me. And now I stick with the tin mugs of roasted coffee they serve at the takeout hatch and slam down my dollar pieces without waiting on the change. Never had much schooling was the truth of it, with the letters carrying on pretty much the same as the numbers, dancing in front of me like fireflies in the glades. Even I had to get help when I figured I should get some publicity painted on the side of the old dirt. Except the guy in the bar I paid $20 to for the paint job ran out of space and ended up finishing the aider of rodent exterminator on the back end of the near side bumper. So now we're passing the entrance to the old gator park with the ghost white shapes of the airboats tied up at the jetties. And I'm just checking the front pocket of my satchel for the 10th time to make sure what I need is there. When the conductor kicks at the door and tells me to move on up the train because we got us power problems. 2 doors down, I find another seat opposite a thin black frame in a gray-brimmed fedora that's as pale as her hair. I hope you're not going on into town with that son. It's sure seen better days. My eyes snap open with her words. I've been drowsing with the heat and the late hour, and I'm not certain if she means the bag or the dog, but hey, if this woman ain't rude. I surprise myself, though, and start up a smile. So have I, ma'am. So have I. She looks like old money from upriver. I see her return the smile, taking in my bleach-washed denims and fraying button-down before passing pin-sharp black pupils over my stained work boots. Her nose and eyes wrinkle at the dried blood that spilt over the toes. But I am become one with the habits of rodents, and I no longer pay heed. What sort of dog you got yourself there, then? She points the tip of her cane at Clutcher, who's got his paws in the air, tongue lolling out from the side of his jaws, drooling spittle, feigning sleep. A bull cross, I say. You're not worried he'll take a bite out of your children? She asks, her voice trembling and querulous. Him, I reply. Why, he's docile as a spent penny, scared of his own reflection in a puddle most days. Anyhow, there's just me, no kids to speak of. This is the most I've uttered since the fall. Gus up at the pumping station says I'm a real backwater still now, which is Gus speak for being close-chested. Almost a local. We're silent. I take out my flask with the chipped enamel mugs and pour coffee. "It's coming strong and black if you'd like some," I offer her. She looks set to refuse, then reaches over a long, bony hand. I see diamonds, wearing an eternity, both too big now on the thin, sagging skin. She's watching me hard with those deep black pupils again, like she's seen what I've seen in life and then some. "You want to get it out now, son? Get to the telling of it," she says. My mug is almost to my lips and it stays there, the scalding liquid searing my palms. "Whatever's in that bag at your feet that you have to check in every few seconds sure must be important." And she prods at my satchel with her stick. "Well, you've never told anyone this before, and you don't suppose that you will again. You were down at Hirsch's Pond, catching silverfish with your bare hands, wading out into the current with Butcher, and laughing as he paddled back towards the rocks, wagging his stumpy tail against the yellow foam, swimming sideways like a sand crab, aiming for and missing the black rocks between the mangrove swamps. He must have been coming up to 15 and too old for it, really, but Clam still liked it. You'd just bought him a junior snorkel kit, and he wanted to watch the eels at the bottom. You find yourself holding his hands out in front of you, him face down and wriggling about like live bait on a tow line, and then you see the great blue heron you've been waiting on all morning, a marine and cobalt bulb flashing across the back of your eyes. You chuck your brother's body up in the water, and you're pointing wildly at the far bank. You're calling out again and again in exclamation and excitement, and you wish, oh how you wish you had remembered your camera, and then only barely just a single second later, you realize that somehow, you don't know how, but somehow you've let go of both of his hands. Tom was. A man could carry the public records in a carpet bag, they were so sparse. Then they built the Central Dade County Records office in Juneau Town, a two-story wood frame sitting on top of the limestone bedrock just east of the old Avenue Bridge where the river joins the Port of Miami's South Terminal, and you can sail the inland waterway on a barge. And now I'm walking in under the red dome of the entrance lobby and fumbling in my bag for the directions they've given me when I knock against a uniformed security guard with a beer belly and a two-day-old shadow. "Hey, watch it, mister!" A tattooed arm bars the way in front of me. Up close, I smell bad breath and a need for trouble. "You'll keep that pooch under control now, you hear?" "Yes, sir," I say, pulling the dog close toward me. Clutcher pins his ears back tight against his head. His short barrel body arches in fear, head thrusting down between my legs for protection. "I'm searching on something from certification, and then we'll be on our way soon enough," I tell him. He stands aside to let me pass, but I feel his radar eyes boring into my back, his gaze narrowing between my shoulder blades. At the end of a white stuccoed corridor, I take a left turn through a pair of heavy swing doors marked Vital Records. I see a pot filled with dusty palmetto trees sitting in front of a fly-spotted teller window with its half-open counter hatch. Well, I've been counting the days a long time since I saw her last. But she's in front of me now, a small bird with a fragile waist a man could span with his one hand. Hair, the color of blue jay feathers, ink spilling down onto her shoulders from its well. And when she sees me, I hear a low keening sound coming from behind closed lips. Then a slow smile curves her face like she's finally found her rainbows. "Lander," her voice reaches me, quiet and still, over the hum of the ceiling fans and the desk screens. "I thought you were, they told me you were..." "I've just been to ground a while, Zuki," I say, cutting in fast over her. "Fixing up at the dugouts on the eco train is all." She stops, short, the coffee skin puckering with memory. One time, we both imagined settling in the backlands, running safaris from the old Miccosukee camp. till I got to remembering who I was and where I'd been, and that no woman would want that between us. I pulled the form out of the front pocket of my satchel and started to smooth it down at the corners. I'm gonna need help here, Suki, I say, pushing it her way across the counter. She bends down low to study it, a shining veil of her hair falling between us. You never tell me, this Lander, that you had a brother? She looks up. I thought it was just you and your grandpa. Clem got sick and died, I say, just after I left home. It comes out easy enough, the lie, but my tongue knows it for what it is and sits pressing hot and thick, searing into the roof of my mouth. I need your help, I say again. They sent me this. I wave my hand in the direction of the form she's holding. I signed it and all where they were asking, but the stuff I can't make out. You want a copy of the death certification? Well, you're his next of kin, so that shouldn't be too difficult. She studies the papers again. But this, she turns the page frowning and stabs it with her index finger. You can't do it? I'm getting anxious, feeling the failure starting up over again in my gut. This, she's repeating all of a sudden, patient, like she's talking to a small child. This might take me longer, is all. She's looking me in the face, cool and steady. Why now, Lander? She asks. Time to pay my respects, I guess. If I know where he's buried, I can visit some, maybe even fix up the grave a little. I shrug. There's a long pause. Then she says, you take a seat now, huh? Right over there will do just fine. She nods towards a straight-backed row of pews alongside a wall-mounted bill changer for the parking lot and an empty drinks vendor. Then she's gathering up the papers and disappearing through a frosted glass door at the rear of the office. A middle-aged woman with two pairs of glasses jangling on a chain around her neck takes her place. And a few minutes later, she's banging shut the counter window and putting out a notice that says back in 5. But a quarter hour on, and there's still no sign of her, and I'm sitting out here alone. Mid-afternoon finds me laid out full on the bench with only the humidity and fire ants for company, hat tipped down over my eyes to cut out the glare of the strip light. And I'm lulled half to sleep in the musky air, shifting my weight from side to side on that hardwood ledge, trying to get my bodies from going numb, when there's a tap on my shoulder that near jolts me onto the floor. It's not here, Lander, she says. You can't find it? I'm full awake now, swinging my legs down and sitting upright. No, I mean, it's not here, she repeats. I don't understand. The death wasn't registered, unless he died someplace else, of course. She's arching her brows in a question mark. He died right here, I say. Take a look if you like. She's holding the forms out under my nose for me to see and tilting her head to one side a little. Well, if he's not with the dead, she says slowly, separating her words out real careful, then I think maybe we gotta look to the living. The years rise up inside my throat, scarling my mouth with bile. The old chief I used to drink with in the trailer park reckoned that whatever you were running from in this lifetime would surely come looking for you in the next. And up until now, that's just about what I'd been hoping for. And she's telling me to stay put, that she's waiting on a call back from some contacts in Homeland Security from way back when. And she's promising me that if my brother's alive, they'll find him. Then I'm left sitting on this bench, like a kid at the back of the bleachers who's out there way before the game's due to begin, only to find his team's not even playing in the league. Suddenly, I need fresh air on my face and space around my feet, so I'm back outside, hunkering down on those steps and resting my head in my hands, wanting them to take the weight of it all, just so as I don't have to shoulder it no more. I'm rubbing my palms deep into my eyes, calluses stinging and scratching the hooded lids when a shadow's leaning over me. Taking a seat on the next step and pushing a small square of paper into my hand, squeezing my fingers tight shut around it. Suit him out or let him go, Lander. Shuki breathes out, sending incense and dreams clouding over me, rolling up and back into my nostrils. Her hand closes down, gentle, over mine, taking me out onto an expanse of scorched, sunny Isles beach, filled with driftwood and the lazy smell of a turned tide, where once I laid me down with this most dazzling of girls. And she's getting to her feet, skirts switching the air heavy, folding in on itself on the hot breeze, and I'm watching red pumps carrying her back up those steps, taking her inside the entrance to the county records office where she's lost from sight. And I know I'm a shadow man, an empty cutout amongst the bright, colorful people that pass me by on the street, and I know they have no place for me here. Clutch is restless now, standing up and shaking himself free of the sidewalk, eager for the scent of other dogs and the dirt of untraveled highways. So I'm checking my watch and getting up to leave, thinking hard on my destination. I'm headed down the steps and clutches, taking them two or three at a time, rushing on in front of me and almost charging into the back of some corporate type with a lawyer's briefcase. And I stop, dead, amongst the tide of Friday people in the farmer's market outside of City Hall. And I take that small square of paper back out of my wallet, where my brother's address has been burning a hole right there in my chest. Then I'm standing, twisting it over and over in my hands, and staring out at the rows of artichoke and papayas, and smelling the steam of chowder and clam bake drifting across from the street vendors with their stands over on South Beach in Lincoln. Turns out we've been only a spit away from each other in life, him and me, but I know we're steering our course under different stars now. The other me, the one that didn't run when he thought he'd left his kid brother to drown that morning in Hirsch's pond, the one who'd have taken him to the game on Saturday afternoons and stood proud at his graduation, been best man at his wedding, and Uncle Lander to his kids, that other me is tracing the marks on the page as if reading his name and the number of his house could make it come out easy in my head. Then I'm throwing it into a nearby trash can and walking on real fast before I get a chance to feel different. And Clutch has heard the rustle of papers and he's looking up at me and doing that kind of dog last hopeful thing he pulls when he's after eating something he shouldn't or scrounging a biscuit from the old lady serving at the store. No luck this time, though. It wasn't that kind of waste I was emptying out. Lander! Lander! I hear Suki's voice calling up from some distant place and she's fast catching up to me. Lander, what are you doing? I can't believe you. She's grabbing me by the shirt sleeve and I see by the crumpled white paper she's holding up in her other hand that she's gone and searched it back out of the trash. I shake her free, picking up my speed and turning away down a side alley. I came after you, Lander. I thought maybe you could use some company on the trip. I'm coming up right behind you when I see you toss this out and walk off. And she shoves her fist in front of me, and the paper is a knife in the air between us. You want to tell me what's going on here? She's almost running alongside, breathing fast, trying to keep a pace with me. And I shoot her the kind of sideways look that would have stopped most people from asking more. When she keeps on coming, I pull up so sudden that we crash into each other with clutches squashed and yapping at our feet. I round on her. No, Suki, I'm not. I told it once today, and that's just about spent all the words I got for it. I'm hearing my voice coming harsh and hollow from someplace else other than my mouth. You just think you can turn up here when I've heard no word from you, when the rangers tell me you're likely fallen down dead someplace, and now you're not even going to tell me what's been keeping you from my door all this time? She stops to catch her breath through a bead, but thinks better of it. When they told me you were posted missing out on Coquina Rocks, you know what I thought, Lander? I was pleased for you. I thought whatever it was that's been stopping that shell you walk around in from being Lander, that's made you run against the wind all these years, would finally be over. Now I've found you your brother and his 3 greyhound stops from here, and you throw him out into the trash with your empty Coke can and hot dog wrappers. The address she's given me for my brother's house is at the end of 100 miles of dusty, axle-busting road that twists through a line of Joshua trees all the way into Everglades City. But we both know I could have been there by nightfall if I'd a mind to. I don't understand you, Lander. You've built your own 7th fire out there, and I can't reach you. When we'd been out on the winter trails together, and there was just us, and the hiss of the gas lamps and the fired embers for company, she'd tell me stories about her past, how her family lived alongside a long line of sacred shamans who were fond of telling the rest of us who were searching for something outside of ourselves that we'd never find it there. The 7th fire was what they called it when you were finally ready to stop looking and move on someplace new. Don't plague me, Suki, I say, moving my face close to hers in the thin light. We're standing in the doorway of a neighborhood bodega. Above us, a flicking sign promises the lure of tamarind shrimp and night jazz. From the dark inside comes the smell of illegal Cuban cigars. I'm lifting my arm, brushing back her bangs, and tracing the soft line of her cheek with the back of my hand, hoping to touch her where words never could. But these fingers are numb now, blood dimming down inside me, leaving my body wired toward as a trapper's skin that's hung out to dry in the heat of a smoke cabin. So I'm taking a step back, filling my lungs with the exhaust fumes and the beggars of this place, and then I'm gone, her startled eyes looking out onto an empty street and much of a way for a man to mark his exit.
Thank you very much, Jackie. And